You are Locked On MLB, your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans, and welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast where we talk about all of Major League Baseball, and I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please, I'm imploring you, call me Sully. On today's episode, which is being dropped on the 11th day of February, 2020, I have a special guest, Javi Reyes of Locked On Padres, where we will be talking about a little thing called insanity. This show is available on the free and easy-to-use Himalaya podcasting app. We're also available in all the places where you get your podcasts. When you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB or check out some of the other great shows on the Locked On Podcast Network, including Locked On Mariners, who I appeared on last week. I appeared on Locked On Red Sox with Gabrielle. And check out Locked On Blue Jays and check out Locked On Padres. Are you detecting a pattern? It's your team every day here.
It's a pattern, man.
Yeah, it's a pattern. That was Javi right there talking.
Yeah, it's me. Hello, everyone.
You want to follow me? I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. You can follow us, the show. Eric and company is doing great work at Locked On MLB _net on Twitter, Locked On MLB on Instagram. Okay, we've got through the formalities. On the line, I've alluded to him. He's already talked. Everything's glorious. We have Javi Reyes of Locked On Padres. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you for having me. It is indeed me. I am here.
Yes, you
are. Exciting.
Now, you are in New Jersey right now.
Yes, I am in New Jersey right now. The Garden State, some would say.
The Garden State, yes. Yes, I'm quite familiar with it. I've seen The Sopranos, and I lived in New York. I did more comedy shows in New Jersey than I care to admit. So are you from San Diego? Why the Friar love?
So that's what's interesting. I actually talked about it on today's episode. There's no reason in particular. So I talked about this today where I don't believe in the whole, like, wherever you're from, that's your team now. I just think that's ridiculous. I think that, like, why? It makes people think, when you talk about, like, where you're from, everyone's always like, well, so I'm from New Jersey, right? So you got to root for the Jets. You got to root for the Yankees. You got to root for the Mets. And when it comes to the Yankees, that was my original team growing up.
Right.
And I still have a fandom over them to an extent, but I was confused by the notion that your team based on where you're from is somehow less arbitrary than just liking players and liking the culture of the team. So it's like, yeah, okay, cool. I was born here, but that doesn't mean I have to like the team here, and especially in, you know, that's maybe like a little bit of a millennial thing to say, but there's just so much technology that we have where you can watch all the games now, you can interact with people on Twitter and Reddit or whatever, what have you. And for me, I just decided I like underdogs. And the Padres are one of those teams that, you know, kind of objectively speaking, they're definitely not the most relevant baseball team in the state of California. You know, you got the Dodgers, Giants, Athletics, Angels. And the Padres are just kind of like I don't want to say the black sheep. That's a little mean way to say it. But right. They're definitely not the number one. And right. I think I'm just attracted to that. And it's also not, because also, admittedly, it's not super fun to be a fan of a team in baseball that you know is going to be pretty awful. It's like, all right, down the road, like in a few years. But unlike football and basketball, you actually can see the prospects like pretty quickly. You know what I mean? If you have like the first overall pick and, mm-hmm. you know, like the Bengals this year, like, are they not going to be good? Yeah, probably not. But they still have Joe Burrow to look forward to. And at least you get to like see it in real time happen. In baseball, it might be like 3 years before you see your first overall pick in the draft even play a game in the majors, right. Which is kind of crazy. And with the Padres, they have some stuff. And I'm a true believer while, you know, I admitted today, Padres are not my number one team. Or I should say not my number one team, but they were not the team I was raised to love.
Right, right. I understand.
I really don't think that their record last year is indicative of how talented the team is. And I think that they've added a lot of pieces. I think they've had a really low-key, pretty good offseason. And bottom eight, I just don't see it. I don't think that this – and Machado had it down here. There's so much. Like, I just – the more I like start looking into the team, the more excited I am, because I really don't understand how, looking back, that they were so bad last year. Like, I just don't.
No, that makes total sense. I think they had, they certainly had talent on the team, and they actually had some, there were some talented pitchers that they had. Mm-hmm. They seemed like, and they, I do a thing where I call it the summer score, where mm-hmm. I keep track of the number of days that a team is in a playoff position.
If okay.
We basically treat, you know, for fandom, is you want to have a reason to cheer for a team for the summer. And the Padres last year had a summer score of 1. They had 1 day, and it's you're in a playoff spot after Memorial Day. Like, you know, it's right. Not counting like April 3rd. You know, it's like after the first third of the season, how many days are you in a playoff spot? And mm-hmm. for the Padres, it was 1 day. They were tied for a wild card spot. But that's still a summer score of 1, and there are a lot of teams that have a summer score of 0. So
yeah.
And so I think that there's talent, there's reason to be excited. I am completely intrigued by your fandom, and we're going to, just as a little preview, Javi is going to be on a later episode this week, because I want to build upon what you were just saying. But it's funny that I have clung to my Boston Red Sox fandom, even though I have not lived in Massachusetts since 1987. And it's kind of like that stubborn, sort of like a stubborn immigrant who can't let go of the land that they it becomes so much of their identity, that you're right, that the way technology is, you don't have to just follow the team. Like if you know, my kids are growing up in Los Angeles County, and they don't have to pick the Dodgers or the Angels to root for, because if you're not going to games every day, you can watch any game you want. And so it used to be, I mean, I'm older than you, and so I, you know, during the 70s and 80s growing up in New England, there were not many games that were available on TV. And so the Red Sox were the team to watch. And then we moved to California, and the A's and the Giants were the teams to watch. And you could see the occasional game of the week, or TBS would show a Braves game. But because you can watch, I can watch every Red Sox game in California. And this became a notion that one thing that I've been screaming about for Major League Baseball to do with Little League is there should be no Little League having to pay licensing to use the Major League uniforms. Mm-hmm. Major League Baseball should deliver those to every Little League organization in the country. Because you get the kids wearing the jerseys, wearing the hats, pretending like it's their team. And the way that technology is now, that if, let's say, your team is the Angels or the Mets or the Tigers or wherever it is, you're in New Jersey and you know, your Little League team is whatever it is, they can follow that team. That's the team I'm going to root for.
Mm-hmm.
And you can develop new fans and new players and new loyalties that's not tethered to this is where I grew up. And I'm fascinated that you are someone who is doing that. You're proof that you could be a fan and it's not based upon, you know, I live in Jersey, ergo these are the two. No, open it up. And you see that with other sports. You see people are like, oh, I grew up in Baltimore, I'm a huge Steelers fan, or I'm a huge Cowboys fan. You see that a lot with some of the other sports. And in basketball, it's almost more of I root for LeBron, or I root for
It's very player-centric.
Steph Curry, yeah. And so baseball should have that because of the way technology is now. Mm-hmm. And it's fascinating that you picked the Padres. That's a great – because let me put it this way. If the Padres win the World Series, you're going to celebrate.
Oh, I know. It's – I was thinking about, I was talking to a friend the other day where he's like, Padres? Like, that's the one, how'd you land that? And I was just like, hey, look, out of all of the teams that, you know, don't have hosts and whatnot when I joined the Lockdown Network, I was like, look, I already have some type of interest in San Diego because my favorite sports team in general is the Chargers.
Yeah.
And that started because of my whole thing, because growing up, I was like, well, in fairness, growing up, my Chargers thing was the most arbitrary thing. I was like, I like their logo. Yeah. You know, stupid 4-year-old me. and I did not like the kids in my class. So I was like, I don't want to be a Jets or Giants fan. I'm going to be the fan of that team that just beat, what's his name? Oh, yeah, Peyton Manning. Oh, they beat him? Cool. And that was just my team from then on. And with the Padres, I think that they're kind of being overlooked and people don't realize that, unlike, say, you know, the Marlins, I think I mentioned as a good example. No, you know, not throwing shade, they're not going to be good this year. Like, no. That is a known thing, and they probably won't be good next year. Down the road, sure, they're going to have prospects, they're going to be building up. But there's just something to that where I'm like kudos to the Marlins host. Like, if you're a big fan of that team right now, not the most fun thing in the world. And I'm also a big proponent of just in general, kind of not throwing away tradition, but just – let's not be tethered to certain things, because baseball is, in terms of just, I don't want to say not relevancy, but just building that internet kind of fandom and people talking, people doing memes about it. It's definitely not ahead of the NBA and the NFL. And, you know, I think kids grow up and they're just like, oh, I mean, I can't, if like flipping a bat's the worst thing I could do. So it's just like, and I do admit there are some players that I think could be a little obnoxious, but I just think that kids watch that and they're like, wait, that's like a bad thing to do. Meanwhile, they're watching Cam Newton in football, like do the Superman gesture, and yeah, they get all into it. So that's a little bit of a tangent, but yes, a very
good. Actually, what that does is going to lead us into exactly what we're going to be talking about the second half of this show, mm-hmm, which is baseball's latest attempt to fix something that isn't broken and distract us from the insanity of this offseason.
Oh, yeah.
So, Javi Reyes, you were talking about some of the ways that baseball has tethered itself to tradition, sometimes in a not intelligent way. I've been saying baseball should be the sport of the internet era, because you constantly have to meet new content on the internet, and what sport gives you more new content and more ways to follow something moment by moment than baseball? And they seem to not know what the heck to do with the internet and not know what the heck to do with, you know, putting together teams. And now we have this. I want to read this to you because I want to talk about this today, but you didn't hear about this. So you're hearing this in real time. I'm reading this from the article on the New York Post from Joel Sherman. MLB is seriously weighing a move from 5 to 7 playoff teams in each league beginning in 2022. In this concept, the team with the best record in each league would receive a bye. Mm-hmm. According to the wild card round, go directly to the division series. The two other division winners and the wild card with the next best record would all host a best-of-3 wildcard round. Mm-hmm. And the bottom three wildcards would have no first-round home games. And the division winner with the second-best record would be able to pick which opponent, ooh, they would want to play.
Oh, sir. So that's the kicker right there. Oh my gosh.
So
that you could get out of that. Oh my gosh.
So they said, so they used this example. The Astros in 2019 with their trash cans would receive the bye. The Yankees had the second best record and would be able to pick from who are you going to play in a best-of-3 series, Tampa, Cleveland, or the Red Sox.
Mm-hmm. So, and then the other Minnesota, because Minnesota was from there. 2, right?
Yeah. I mean, so this is what they want to do. They want to expand the playoffs more, mm-hmm, bring more teams into the fold, and have this sort of pick 'em and a division series bye for the best record. I have some thoughts on this. I want to have your initial thoughts on it, because you didn't know about it until I just read this.
So initial thoughts is, one, I guess I don't know for sure. Maybe the thinking with this is add more intrigue to the regular season, because there will be more potential teams that can make the playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a long season, obviously, so maybe they're worried about that. That's interesting. See, what I'm getting on is the whole picking your opponent thing. I feel like I've heard that part before. I think I've heard that part. So maybe I actually have heard of this before, that you pick your opponent. I mean, the amount of potential that has just to set the whole world on fire, that would be amazing.
Well, especially if you choose
the Twins every year, like, for example.
Yeah, I mean, especially if you have a situation where you have a team, it's all, we're going to pick this team, and the team they pick winds up winning. In this example would be like if the Yankees said, oh, we want to play the Rays, and the Rays wind up winning, that would make the Yankees look stupid, or however, I don't know. Mm-hmm. So what do you think? Are you pro or con this?
Oh, man. This is tough. Because I also, so instead of 5-7, interesting. I'm kind of pro. Mm-hmm. Initial thoughts, I'm pro.
Yeah.
But it's not a, I'm willing to have my mind changed. I'm not, this isn't like something I'm immediately in on. This isn't like a, like DH is a good example of a rule I feel like should be in both leagues. I've always been in on that.
You and I can't disagree more.
I want it instead.
I like that one league has and the other doesn't. I like that there's a difference in the league.
The
only way I would say either universal DH or universal no DH is if they just realign everything and say, do you want, there's going to be East, West, and sort of just rejigger the leagues kind of like they did in hockey. And if that's the case, then you can't have it be a regional thing, like the West has the DH and the East doesn't. So if they completely realign, then you can talk to me about a universal DH or universal no DH. But I like that if you go to the National League, you know, it's like it's variety and a menu. I like the games where the pitchers have to bat, and I hear no bigger cheers from a crowd when a pitcher gets a hit or drives in a run. It's spectacular. But I also love Big Poppy, and I love Frank Thomas, and I love Paul Molitor, and you know, people who are DHs. And so you can like two different things. I like the Avengers, and I liked Parasite. You can like two different things, you know, two very different. I have varied tastes. I like ice cream and I like sushi. Why can't you enjoy two different things, you know?
Oh man, don't get me started on the movie thing. I agree 1,000% with what you just said. See, for me with the DH, I almost feel like I like the idea of being like, we have straight up another spot for another offensive player, because you know, not everyone's Madison Bumgarner or whatever, like, who's actually kind of decent at hitting.
Yeah.
So for me, it's almost, I feel like too often, it's kind of a novelty seeing a pitcher bat, where people are like, oh wow, like Masahiro Tanaka is batting, or Chris Paddock is batting, like, this is cool. And then you watch it and you're like, oh wait, yeah, they're either going to strike out, maybe ground out, or they'll have a sacrifice bunt. And with the DH, it's like, oh, this is a whole nother part of your team you have to build. You have to be like, hey, we got another offensive player here.
I like both.
I also respect that too. That was good. The Avengers of Parasite.
Yeah, I like both. I mean, why do I have to, you know, I find joy in both. So why am I, and I've always had both. Like the DH was instituted in 1973. I was born in 1972. And I'm not young. I'm only young for two things, to become a Supreme Court justice or have a heart attack. Those are the only two things that I'm young for. And I've had this. It's been, you know, I'm going to be approaching 50 pretty soon. And it's always been there. So to me, this is tradition. But anyway, I'll tell you my thoughts on the, you know, a lot of people are hating this. I am sort of checking myself in terms of hating it, because I hated the concept of a wild card back in 1994. Well, they first instituted the three divisions in 94, but there was a strike. So the first year they had it, played it all the way through, was in 95. And I hated the concept of a wild card, because I was all, you need to be a division winner and blah, 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 blah. And the wild card has given us a Red Sox, several Red Sox Yankees ALCSs. It's given us tremendous teams that have, you know, like what happened with the Rockies, what happened, it got Barry Bonds in a World Series. A lot of things have happened. Got the wonderful run that the Washington Nationals had last year. Exactly. And then I was also against the wild card game. Blah, 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 and I've wound up really digging the wild card game. So every time there's been an expansion to the playoffs, I'm sure that if I were around back in 1969 when they first went to division play, because before it was whoever's in first place at the end of the year is going to the World Series. I'm sure when divisional play began in 1969, I probably would have been, you know, completely against it. So I'm sort of checking myself at the door right now going, like, I've always opposed expansion of playoffs and that I've always enjoyed it. And so I have to kind of look myself in the mirror and say, well, I was wrong before. And so maybe I have to detect a pattern of myself. Here's my one problem with it.
Okay.
Is that it feels like a diversion. There's a lot of real stuff that's happening in baseball with the Astros controversy, which now seems like it's a lot bigger. You are finding out, we're pulling at the strings on that sweater. Right. And we're seeing it's a lot bigger than the just a couple of coaches of the Houston Astros. And there are problems that you're seeing with, you know, the Tampa situation, with Oakland situation, with the minor leagues not getting a, you know, the minor leagues not being paid a living wage.
Right.
The specter of potentially the first time of a labor stoppage in a quarter century. All these things feel like they're more important. And this seems like a way, like, hey, isn't this exciting? Mm-hmm. And why don't you fix the problems first? And there, this has been kind of a thing that baseball has done in the past, that they've, whenever there's been a big strife or something, there's been a, how do we distract it? And sometimes it's been positive, like when baseball was going through a tremendous amount of trouble in the early 90s, it's when they expanded to the wild card and everything like that. And sometimes it's been destructive, which was, hey, fans are coming back to watch all these home runs, so let's turn a blind eye to the fact that these players are injecting horse serum into them.
Right.
I believe that baseball needs to fix its problems before they start. You know, it's kind of like if someone's in a failing marriage and then all of a sudden they said, hey, I bought us a trip to Paris. Like, all right, that's nice, but we got stuff we got to deal with first here. And it really seems like a way to turn the conversation away from some of the real things that are going on there. And I wrote on Twitter, I said, I wish people who actually loved baseball were in charge of baseball. Oof. And because it always seems like
that's a shot. I like it.
It always seems like we're worried about getting the fans who don't care about baseball, when what we should do is build up the love of the people who are willing to do the legwork. You know, you were mentioning how the NBA is really great at allowing their fans do their memes, do their YouTube videos, keep their product relevant. And Major League Baseball tries to stomp it. So, like, you should be embracing that and putting and marketing. NBA for generations have been so much better at marketing their great players. I mean, like, good stars in the NBA become household names.
Absolutely.
While the Mike Trouts and the, you know, Christian Yeliches of the world are known to us.
Yeah.
But I do believe that Mike Trout, if he wasn't in a situation where, you know, he's amongst baseball fans, could just walk down the street and not be recognized. And that's insane.
I remember talking to my dad about this, who's very, like, he's very, I don't even know, his taste in sports is odd. But I remember asking him whether he remembers, like, if he could name, I forgot what year this was, if you remember, the Bautista bat flip. And I remember
that was 2015.
I remember he told me he remembers that more than who won the World Series that year. And I thought that was kind of telling, where people just, there's not enough of a grab for stars right now. And I actually have a question for you. Yeah. Do you think that all this controversy in a weird way has actually made this like the most exciting offseason?
This offseason, well, let me tell you, you had casual fans talking about baseball during the Super Bowl week.
Yeah, I mean,
so I think it's
unbelievable.
One thing it's done is it's made the beginning of spring training really interesting.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The first game, like, I think that the first game that the Houston Astros play at Yankee Stadium and
anywhere,
anywhere, and the Dodgers, certainly that one.
Yeah,
that's good. That's like ESPN, whoever, get your rights on that game, whoever has it. Like, I'm tuning into that for sure. And it's odd because this is coming off of an off season that, or last off season, I should say, where you had two like all-star projected, or at least one point projected to be like Hall of Fame caliber talents that were both free agents. And it really didn't, in my opinion anyway, and one of them is on my team, of course, so I'm biased.
Yeah.
But, with Manny Machado and Bryce Harper, it really felt like that was baseball's opportunity to like have this like insane hype leading up to the season. Like, oh my gosh, where are they going to sign? This is it. Is Harper going to be great on whatever team he signs with, the Machado and all this stuff? Is Machado's antics going to play into how much money he gets? Which, breaking news, it didn't. I don't know why people thought that was going to happen. And then it kind of kept going on. And this is actually a complaint I've had about baseball in a while, and I don't know what the solution is, but I've always found it odd that it's seemingly the best players every offseason, it takes forever before we actually find out who they're signing with.
Yeah.
And while I don't think that that's necessarily awful in a vacuum, I think that a lot of people are like, oh, NBA free agency. Immediately when the clock hits, people are jazzed about it. And then baseball, it's like, we got these two 27-year-old, 26-year-old kids that are all-stars, and, you know, Bryce Harper is really, really popular. And I find out, like, when I'm about to graduate – or not graduate, when I'm about to be done with my junior year of college, that's, like, when I find out these guys are signing. Like, it's very odd when you compare it to other sports. And now, all of a sudden, we're talking about a team that cheated, and everyone's, like, super excited about the beginning of the season. It's really interesting.
Yeah, and I think that, and I mentioned this, it's a kind of controversy that people can, you know, as opposed to things like real issues, like, you know, domestic violence or abuse anything like that, which there's nothing fun about that. Obviously, it's not fun if you're a player who is affected by this and may have lost your job and everything like that. But for sports fans, like, hey, you cheated at playing the game.
Yeah.
People always will get more outraged about things like that
than
anything real, because it's more about the gamesmanship. And I think this is, you know, I want you, you've made some really great points, especially in terms of the NBA being so smart in marketing and getting their players known and getting their off season to be exciting. I've been a proponent for doing things like having the trade deadline be kind of almost like a reality show. Like, you have, like, you know how the waiver wire rules start on August 1st?
Right.
My recommendation is have them there all year. Like, teams can block trades and everything, except for 2 days at the 1/3 mark and the 2/3 marks of the season. There's a, like a 5-hour window where all waiver wire rules are relaxed. And in that 5-hour window, you could trade. You could trade Mike Trout for a bag of tomatoes if you want. And there's no way you can block it. And so you see these teams, like these rumors, what's going to happen? Is this going to be all these rumors building up? And then bing, 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 bing. It's almost like the commodities exchange. And bing, 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 bing. And then, the you know, you, and you and like turn it into a game. You know, the way the way that the NBA has turned the draft, like baseball's trying to turn the draft into something, but you made a great point. Here's the first pick of the draft. See you in 5 years.
Yeah. Unless you're Bryce Harper.
Unless you're Bryce Harper, but even Bryce Harper doesn't come right up.
Yeah, it's just that's so weird. Like, there's the Major League Baseball draft is odd, and everyone's like, huh? Like, oh, cool. Like, that's just I don't know how you fix that either. I don't know how you – even if you can fix it.
I don't think you can. I think you have to do things like I recommended, which you treat that like trading baseball cards but with real people. Mm-hmm. All right, well, look it. Mm-hmm. strange day, strange off season, but should be a fun year coming up. And we are really happy that we've got ourselves a Padres podcaster in Javi Reyes. Javi, where can people catch your show that I can't wait to start listening?
They can catch it on all of their podcasting services, man. Spotify, iTunes. I use the Overcast app, whatever you want, man. Stitcher, SoundCloud, or I don't know about SoundCloud, but.
What about Apple Podcast?
Yeah, Apple Podcast. Boom! There you go. Boom, they're on there. You can check out the Twitter account at @LO_Padres.
I'm in.
Hit us up there. Send me a DM. You could follow me on my personal Twitter, which is Twitter.
He's also on Twitter.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter too. Twitter, it's this whole thing. At Javipeno, which is spelled JAVIIPENO. DM me. You can email the email which is lockedonpadres@gmail.com. Send me some questions. I'd love to answer them. You be goofy too. I don't care. You can send me anything. You can say I'm terrible at hosting. I don't care. Whatever you want to do.
They tell me that all the time. Believe me, you'll get that.
I'll get that. Oh, I'm excited. I can't wait to get like hate mail.
You know what? I got to tell you, it's actually kind of cool. One guy said, I think he's drunk. I don't drink. I'm sober. I don't drink at all. So, you know, this guy thought I was, or like someone saying, I've got some really like harsh things but I've also got some very complimentary things and everything.
Yeah, it's imagine. Yeah. I don't want to act like I'm only going to get that. I imagine there's, Padres Twitter. I know you guys are out there. I'm ready to geek out. I'm excited about this opportunity for sure.
All right. Well, look, that's Javi Reyes. Check him out at Lockdown Padres. I know I'm going to. And check us out on the free and easy to use Himalaya podcasting app or wherever you get your podcasts. Check us out on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Sully Baseball, and I'm at Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. Hey, this has been the Locked On MLB Podcast for the 11th day of February, 2020. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully.